are pretty expensive. And there is a chance that we never, may never ever see them again, or they'll be returned broken. I'll share a story that one time when Mel and I first got married, I needed to borrow tools because I didn't have any tools at all. And so I needed a rake. I went and borrowed one from my father-in-law. Let me just tell you, that rake was in bad shape. I don't even know why he let me borrow it, but that probably was his plan. So you can imagine, I was using the rake, it broke. I had the rake head here and just a like rotten stick. So being newly married and not wanting this to be held over my head for the rest of my life, I had to go and buy him a new rake and return it to him. Again, that was probably his plan to begin with. We are supposed to share, but sometimes it's hard for us to be able to do that because we're worried that, you know, our tools may not be returned. As Melanie mentioned, and as the kids learned this past weekend at Vacation Bible School, they learned about the early church, about the church sharing all of their things that they had and working together. And so we're going to look at a few scriptures out of the gospel, or out of the book of Acts, out of one of the gospel writers, where the church shares. Acts 2:44, the early church, the community, they shared. It reads, all the believers were together and had everything in common. For the community, it was important for them to share their possessions. It was important for them more than the individual's needs. So the needs of the community, as the early church, as the believers came together, the goal of the community was more important than my tools. And so everyone was very eager, and they were all on board with sharing what they had for the betterment of the church, for the betterment of the community. This past January, or right after Christmas, Mel and I had an opportunity of visiting a place near Americus, Georgia called Koinonia Farms. A lot of y'all have heard of this. One of the early church scholars, Professor Clarence Jordan, started Koinonia Farms in rural Georgia. And the idea was this community was modeled after the early church, where everybody came together, all were considered equal, and they shared all their possessions. And so there was no division between male or female. There was no segregation between black or white, and there was no really division between the different class levels, whether you had a lot of money coming in or no money at all. Everybody was treated equal. They all shared in their possessions, and their goal was to live as a community of believers and to worship God and to praise God. They started farming pecans, and one of their slogans is, we're going to ship the nuts out of Georgia. Anybody here from Georgia? So the children learned the story from Moses and the Israelites, where they all lived in tent and they shared all their possessions in order, and their gifts and their talents, in order for them to work together to build the tabernacle, to build something for God. So church, that is one of our challenges that we can learn from the early church, is to share what we have. They next learned that the early church, the early community, again in Acts 2, the next verse, is that it was important for them to care. This early church's community, they cared for others by selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as they had need. Caring for others in need, as we learned this morning, the scripture passage about the four friends who brought their friend to see Jesus who was in need. We'll revisit that story in just a moment. And then one of the last passages they looked about and that they studied from the early church was the community. They learned about God, they worshiped God together, and they fellowshipped every day. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. The community shared their faith with others and each other. Yesterday morning, the story the children learned was about Philip, who went and shared what he knew about Jesus through the scriptures, the Ethiopian who had the questions. And so Philip, part of that early church, shared his faith. He shared what he knew about Jesus. Folks, when we gather around the table to build our sandwiches, and I'm hoping to build one maybe this tall, we get to share those secrets with others. I don't know how spiritual it is eating a big sandwich as well, but when we gather in fellowship, when we gather as a community, we get to share our life lessons. We get to share the things that we struggle with. We get to share encouragement with others. We get to listen and just be a shoulder for someone who may need that ministry moment. That is what the early church did, and that is what we're able to do as believers. They gathered to worship, and they gathered to praise God. Let's go back real quick, and let's look at the early church and how they cared for others. And we're going to do this by hearing again the story about the four friends. And I'm going to need some volunteers. And so I asked a few of the kids already, I need four volunteers that are willing to come and help me to retell this story. Four kids. All right. One, we got two. Y'all come on down. Andrew, did you say you want to volunteer? No, Andrew. He's already read scripture. I need two more. We need two more friends. Judd, and one more. Take your time. We got sandwiches waiting on us. Each y'all grab a corner here. All right. So we got three friends. We need one more friend. If no one comes down, I'm going to make Mr. Cornwall come down. He's not going to like that. No. All right, Owen. Come on. Lainey, you want to come up? No. Get down here, Owen. Or shall we say Obadiah? All right. So now I'm going to be the... paralyzed, so I'm going to lay here. Can y'all carry me? Probably. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to pretend. No, I know they'll drop me. We're going to pretend that we've got one of your friends here who's paralyzed. Do y'all know what it means to be paralyzed? It means they had a bad injury, or he may have been born this way. He can't move at all. It might have been just maybe not move his legs, or sometimes someone's paralyzed from the neck down. They can't move their arms or anything, and they have to have people help them. So they really cared for their friend, and y'all heard about this teacher, this rabbi Jesus, who was performing miracles. He's healing people. So y'all, because you want to help your friend out, you want to take him to see Jesus because you believe that Jesus can heal him. So you know, right over here, Jesus, he's teaching in this house. So we're going to carry your friend over to Jesus. All right, start carrying him over. But wait right now, you can't get in. Well, why can't you get in? Do you remember from the story? It's crowded, right? There's no way that you can get in the house and the door. So what are we going to do? We're going to go home? Huh? Go up the roof. All right, let's come up the roof. All right, y'all come on up. Bring your friend up here. All right, bring him on up. Don't drop him here. All right, so we're up on the roof. Now, what are we going to do? What did they do? What did the friends do?
They had
ropes on there.
And then lower them
down. They made a hole. Make a hole here in the roof. There you go, Judd. So I could let you use some of the tools that are up here, but we won't go there. All right, go ahead and lower your friend down. There, you see Jesus down there? Y'all wave at Jesus? All right, lower him down. Lower him down. There we go. All right, real and easy now. All right, all the way down. All right, now do you remember what Jesus said when he saw the friends lowering the guy that's paralyzed down? He said that, I see y'all's faith, which means that you believe so strongly and you knew that Jesus could heal your friend. That's what it means, the faith that you had in Jesus to heal. He said, that's going to help your friend for me to heal him. And then he said to the guy who was down there, your friend, what's your friend's name?
Owen.
He said, Owen, your sins are forgiven. Do you know why he said that to them? Well, you know, there were some religious authorities that were in there, and they're like, you know, that does not make any sense. The only one who can forgive sins is God. And they said that you're not supposed to say that. You're just a man. But we know as Christians that Jesus was God's son and that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And in a way, the sins and the bad choices that folks have made, then in a way it's like Jesus was saying, I'm going to heal you from the inside. But on the outside, we could see that he couldn't move and that he was paralyzed. And so Jesus, he said to the man, he said, because of the faith of your friends and your faith, then I want you to get up, take your mat, and walk. All right, Owen, you're now the paralyzed man. Your two roles here. Jump down there, Owen. Take your time again. Lay down. All right. Now you've just been healed. Now you can get up, just like you get up real quick to go to school. Take up your mat, and you're praising God. Is that what you do, like when you score a goal in soccer, or you make a basket? Yeah, you go like that. There you go. Yeah, praise God. All right. And y'all praise God as well. All right. Yeah, he healed our friend. So you go that way and you tell everybody about Jesus. Take your mat. It says in the scriptures, you got to take it and go. All right. Thank y'all, guys. Y'all give him a hand. So I wanted to go back to that last scripture passage in Acts 2. It says that the church, they gathered together and they shared. They cared for others. They sold all their possessions. They gathered and with sincere hearts and glad hearts, and they fellowshiped together and they worshiped God and they praised God. And then what did the last part of that scripture passage say? You got it up there? Nope. Yep, right there it is. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And so God added to their number daily. And so if y'all look on the back of our worship program, you'll see on there, we list like offerings and everything. You know, in some churches, you may remember, they used to have the board on the back with the hymn numbers you're supposed to sing and what was last week's offering and how much we came, how many folks attended Sunday school and how many folks attended worship. And so we list that in the bulletin, and it's important, and I'll tell you why, but that's not our goal. Our goal is not just to come to church just so we'll have 100 in worship or 100 in Sunday school. Or our goal is not to come to church just so we'll have 200 in worship or 200 in Sunday school, or we'll have all these kids that are in Bible school. We come to church to share, to care for others, to worship and praise God. And folks, if we just had one kid, Melanie probably like, no, all this work's not worth it. But if we just had one kid come to Bible school, we would still have it, because it's important to that one kid. So whether we have one or 50, we still want to do these ministries. Whether we have 100 in worship or 200 in worship or Sunday school, we still gather, because it's not necessarily about the numbers, and that's not necessarily our goal. But the reason we publish them, because those numbers represent you. They represent people in the community. They represent kids that need to come and to be a part of the ministries at the church. Youth that will benefit from being a part of the youth ministries that are going on. We had the opportunity of talking to one of the leaders of the rescue mission in Roanoke, Virginia. And she was sharing, it's easier to train up a child in the right path than it is to fix a broken adult. And of course, she was referring to someone who had made some pretty bad choices in their life, and they had gotten different problems and addictions or whatever, and they found themselves in a very, very difficult situation. And so it is important to have children a part of our ministry that are here in Bible school. And it is important to have more numbers in our church, because they represent people who need to hear about God, the need to know the love of Christ. And so as we gather and as we are part of this Christian fellowship that we call Zion Baptist Church, maybe one of the challenges today is to continue to share our faith and to care for others, but at the same time, invite them to be a part of the service, to be a part of our fellowship. I'm a firm believer, if we share, if we care, if we come and we praise God and we worship, then God will add to our numbers, he did to the early church. Again, thank y'all for helping out with the Bible story, and thank y'all for those who were involved in the leadership, those who invited and folks to come and be a part of Vacation Bible School, and for all those who've been praying for this weekend. And so we give the praise to God. Let's join together in prayer. God, I thank you that you've given us a model to follow, what the early church taught, what they did together and how they lived their life, Lord, is a model for us to follow, and may we follow as they did. But more importantly, God, we thank you for the stories that that you told through Jesus and how we can know you through him, Lord. I pray as we continue to grow as a church, as a body here at Zion Baptist Church, that we will take those stories to heart and that we'll go and share them to those that are in need. We thank you, God, and we praise you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.